Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Joe's a great movie.
I know this.
Yes. The Flash Gordon music, the Flash Gordon theme. You know how sometimes you hear something or you see something, it leads you to something else, and then it goes, that's the rabbit hole, right? You go down the rabbit hole because it always, you have these tentacles. We do this all the time. We talk about, I went down the YouTube rabbit hole because maybe you want to look up, you know, a Sabres playoff goal, but that leads you to another goal and then a fight or a game, right?
Yep.
That happens all the time. And you're like, how did I get to this point? And pretty soon you're watching, like, you know, Taylor Swift's Shake It Off video for some reason. Who knows, right? It could be anything. It leads you to whatever. By the way, speaking of Taylor Swift, I think the album's out today now.
The double album is out today. 31 songs released today.
Wow.
No one knew it was a double album until she said it like at 11:55 last night, I guess.
She knows how to market and do this stuff, right? She's great at that. She's not only great as an entertainer, like she's really good at this kind of stuff too. She does it right. Okay. Well, this is what happened with me with Flash Gordon. I brought up Mingo Mean Time in the last break. You know, what's Mingo Mean Time? It's Flash Gordon, Ming the Merciless, Ming runs everything on the planet. Here's how this happened. This ties into football, I promise, okay? So, Joe Douglas, the Jets GM, is speaking to the Jets media today, right now, within the past hour. And I'm reading quotes from Joe Douglas who says he was asked about what the Packers have built at quarterback and how they had Brett Favre, then Aaron Rodgers, now Jordan Love. And here's his quote. I would love to be a quarterback factory like that, he said about the Jets. And that got me to thinking, Jets, quarterback. So in the movie, Flash Gordon, he lands on this planet accidentally, and he doesn't know where he is, and they're like, they bring the prisoner to me. And he looks at Ming the Merciless and like, who are you? And he says, Flash Gordon, quarterback, New York Jets. That's why I thought about it, because I heard Joe Douglas talk about the Jets being a quarterback factory. Because, I mean, other than Aaron Rodgers, I'm thinking, yeah, obviously, like, they aren't known for quarterbacks in their history. Like, who is the best Jets quarterback you've ever remembered in your life? Besides Aaron Rodgers. If you want to even count him, he played four plays.
It's probably Chad Pennington.
Right.
Chad Pennington. Fits for a year. But otherwise, Chad Pennington, I think.
I mean, Sanchez took him to two AFC title games.
Yeah.
But
was he good?
I mean,
did anyone ever think he was good? Maybe Pennington is kind of the same thing. I don't know.
He had, hold on, 137. Mark Sanchez had 137 total touchdowns plus interceptions. Which one, what did he have of each? Take a guess. With the Jets. In his Jets career,
okay.
Mark Sanchez had a total of 137 total touchdowns and interceptions. What's the divide there, you think?
Okay, I'm going to guess he's like 136 was the number?
137.
I'm going to guess he had like 85 and 50.
68 touchdowns, 69 interceptions.
Oh, my. In that era? Not that it's the same as maybe right now, but...
Right.
That's like 70s numbers.
It's unbelievable. You go back to Pennington, who was actually where your cutoff, where your line there, he was very similar to the total number, 82 and 55 for Pennington.
Yeah.
The guy I remember growing up, their quarterback for me growing up was Richard Todd. He played in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. He was the quarterback when the Bills played them in the playoffs. Bills beat him in a wild card. That's the guy for me. And then Ken O'Brien came along. He was in the draft class with Jim Kelly.
Yeah.
And, of course, Joe Namath is their all-time leading passer. But here's their all-time leading passers. Namath, O'Brien, Richard Todd, Chad Pennington, Vinny Testaverde, Mark Sanchez, Boomer Esiason, Sam Darnold.
Vinny Testaverde is going to be the first Jets quarterback I remember. That's when I'm first remembering football, like he's their quarterback. And I'm guessing he was very old by that point.
So it wasn't Flash Gordon?
It was not Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon might have been the first quarterback I remember for the Jets because he said, Flash Gordon, quarterback, New York Jets. And by the way, Sam Jones is the actor. And did Sam Jones, he might actually, a little bit of football background. But anyway, that's how we got to Mingo Meantime a little while ago. The Jets are not going to be drafting, I don't think, a quarterback in the first round. I guess they could be thinking about that to replace Aaron Rodgers at some point. They have the type of team, I think, though, that could be, you know, a real contender in the AFC East if Aaron Rodgers does play a fully healthy season. The Bills have obviously a lot of challenges around their own roster, but with the AFC East right now, you know, looking where it is, I think the Bills have to think about that as well. They have Josh Allen in place. How do you combat, you know, these particular opponents? One of the teams is the New York Jets. What the Jets have. How scared are you, I guess, is the question I have of the Jets in the AFC East if Aaron Rodgers does play a full season?
The if is big there. The if is big. If you told me right now he plays a full season, then I would be legitimately worried about them. But otherwise, I think mild because I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't think he's going to play a full season. I think their line, they've done some work on, but they've brought in a lot of guys that have their own injury questions. So because of that, and Rodgers being 40 years old, coming off a major injury, a torn Achilles, I just don't trust that he's going to be a guy that can stay on the field all year long. I don't think Brady's a good comparison for this. Brady is an anomaly to be that healthy, playing that long. And at the same time, what level of play are we going to get from Rodgers? Because it's been 3 years since the MVP level play that the Jets are searching for. Remember, we were already having some question about him and level of play last year because his final year in Green Bay, it was a little bit more pedestrian. It was more of a, I don't want to go all the way to game manager status, but he went from 257 yards and 268 yards in his two MVP years to 217. He went from over 4,000 yards to 3,600. He went from 48 and 37 touchdowns to 26. He went from 9 combined interceptions in the two MVP years to 12. Like, that final Green Bay year was a legitimate decline. And then he missed a full year with a torn Achilles with an offensive line in front of him that I think is at the best questionable. So I'm not one that thinks he's going to stay healthy all year, and I think if he does, I'm not expecting MVP-level Aaron Rodgers. So the furthest I'd go is mild concern about them pushing for the division.
They have the number 10 pick in the NFL draft. People I talk to cover the Jets, people I follow, it seems like they really want another pass catcher, maybe a tight end. Brock Bowers seems to be a very, very you know, consensus pick to them that would make a lot of sense. D-line, too. They already have a really good defense in D-line, but maybe edge rusher. They did lose Bryce Huff, obviously, in free agency, so maybe that's a place they can go. If the Bills want to, you know, really make a move, and I mean like really make a move up to try and get a wide receiver, they like if Odunze starts to fall or someone like that, I think that's a team you might have to get ahead of. And Chicago's sitting there at number 9. The Bears have had, obviously, an interesting offseason. And they traded for Keenan Allen. They really wanted Gabe Davis. He wound up going to Jacksonville. So they've been doing work on wide receivers. I don't know how much the Keenan Allen move gets them away from that. Who else do they?
DJ Moore.
DJ Moore. Thank you. Yeah, DJ Moore. Yep. They have there. They didn't bring somebody else in though, right?
No,
that
but
was
they.
It. He's from.
They did pay their tight end Cole Kmet too, a pretty sizable extension. So they have a lot invested in pass catchers already, and Keenan Allen's highly paid in addition to how many targets he demands. And also, the thing about the Bears, why I think 9 is realistic for them to move down, even if it's not to the Bills, to somebody, they've got 4 picks in the whole draft. And they've brought in a lot of guys on visits that are in between their draft picks, one of which that to me is the most noteworthy is Xavier Worthy. The Bears had Xavier Worthy in on a visit, and no one in the world thinks he's going to go 9 to the Bears. And their next pick after the 9th pick is 75th. So they're not getting him there. Like, they're doing their due diligence, but what's the due diligence for? It's for the scenario in which they would move down from the 9th pick to somewhere around where an Xavier Worthy would become available. So I think the worst-kept secret in the league right now is that the Bears will move down from that 9th pick because they want more than just 4 draft picks.
And they do have the top overall pick, so they clean that up. It's not like they would be void of a first-round pick, obviously. They could grab, they're going to grab Caleb Williams. It seemed like that's obviously a lock right now. So then they have number 9. I'm looking right now. Their next pick after that, 75 in the 3rd round, and then 122. It would make sense. The Bills, if they want to do it, would have to go very high. They'd have to give up next year's number 1. We know that. That'd have to be the price to pay, plus a lot more, by the way. I mean, that's a jump from 27 to 9. I mean, the 28 to 9, excuse me. The Chiefs went from 27 to 10 in the year that they took Patrick Mahomes when the Bills had the number 10 pick. So it's very rare you get that kind of move. When you hear Brandon Bean talk yesterday about, hey, teams in the top 10 aren't calling me, but, you know, there's no rule I can't call them. I just don't know if they'd take my call. Or he's basically saying, like, it would really, really be a Herculean move, and I don't think I can do it, and you shouldn't expect it. I also don't think it should be out of the question. It might take 2 moves, by the way. Who knows? Maybe before the draft, we hear something about the Bills moving up. This is what they did when they got Josh Allen. Maybe they move up into the teens, and then maybe draft night they move up there. I still wouldn't rule it out. Maybe there's some sort of deal to be made before you get that high, so you can get that high at the end of the day when you're on the clock or when the other team's on the clock.
Yeah. How do they get there, though? Right? Like, how do they get to the middle of the first round? The comparison we've always used, like, to kind of leapfrog, lily pad your way up to the top 10 is we'll get to the middle. And the time the Bills did that to get up to get Josh Allen, they used a roster player. They used Cordy Glenn to get up. And look around the roster and tell me who makes sense for that. I tossed out a name last week that I'm not a fan of doing this, but it's the only guy I could think of that maybe you could get up 15 spots to be able to do it. I just threw out Matt Milano for that. I don't need them to trade Matt Milano or want them to, but like that's the hardest you got to work for someone on the roster to get you up that high. And, you know, Dorian Williams, the last time they just threw a third linebacker in there, it went pretty well. But no one's expecting that. There's no one else on the roster that I think makes sense for it. And you don't have a third round pick. So I like that in theory of let's get up to the teens and then again up into the top 10. But I just have a really hard time seeing how Bean pulls that off.
Okay, I know they love this guy. I'm not suggesting the Bills would want to do this, entertain this. But if you're talking about this, if we're going to go through this exercise, I'll give you a guy that probably would get you there and you could maybe do it.
Yeah.
Spencer Brown.
Does Spencer Brown, though, get you up, what, 10 picks?
He's like a starting right tackle, had a good year last year. He's young. And from the Bills standpoint, they just signed Lyle Collins. And yesterday, Bean said they see him as a depth right tackle guy. They also have Ryan Vandermark, who they really like at tackle as well. Again, I'm not advocating the Bills doing it. I don't think they would do it. I don't know if it would get you that high. But Cordy Glenn, yes, left side, and he was a really good player. I get it. I don't know if it goes that high, but it might get you a few spots to get you in position.
Yeah, maybe a few. I would have a hard time seeing Brown getting them up that high. Like, Glenn
it would have to be in conjunction with other picks, I guess. It would have to be a part of a package is what I mean.
Right. No, that's right. Glenn was a 6-year starter that when the Bills traded him. Like, and he had some level of pedigree for a long time. Now, money-wise, I guess maybe it's not that different because you have to pay Spencer Brown, and Glenn would have already been under contract. I don't know. I think a lot of this is hard to see, right? Like, the only way I think they're going to leapfrog their way up in the middle is if they are willing to trade picks next year in addition to day 3 picks. And at that point, I think it's tough, right? Like, it's not all that likely. Like, I love the idea of the Julio Jones level trade. And it's probably my favorite idea still. Like, go offer the Bears your first next year and your second and a fifth of the day 3 pick and go get Odunze at number 9. But okay, let's say the Bears like that idea. You're Brandon Bean. You call the Bears at number 9, and they say, okay, we like this value. If I'm the Bears GM, what am I doing? I'm saying, all right, Brandon, I'll call you right back. And then I go call Pittsburgh and see if they'll offer me the same thing because I could pick 8 spots higher in the 20s. And if they don't want to do it, then I call Seattle. I call other teams before 28. Will you match the Bills? Because I'd like to do this package, but I don't want to fall to 28. And then, you know, you're at the will of, does anybody else between the Bears and the Bills want to do the same thing? Because if they say yes, then you're screwed and you can't get into the top 10.
Do you remember the Cordy Glenn trade? What exactly happened on that deal?
All I remember is that it was like a month before the draft.
They went from 21 to 12. They swapped.
Yeah.
They gave up Cordy Glenn, and they also swapped 5th and 6th rounders. So meaning the Bills went from a 6th round to a 5th rounder and moved there. They actually moved up in that scenario as well. Bills went to 158 since he dropped to 187. But what it was a 9-pick move. They swapped first rounders. And by doing that, the Bills also gave them Cordy Glenn in the package.
He was in the second year of a 5-year, $60 million deal.
Mm-hmm.
Which 8 years ago, like, isn't that near? He was franchise tagged before that, right? Yeah, I don't see a Cordy Glenn on their roster. Again, right. Unless the guy is Milano. But no one in the world wants to do that.
No, and look at Matt. It's a great player. He's not super young anymore, right? He's been in the league 7 years, and he's coming off a broken leg as well.
Yeah, what is he, 29, 30? 29.
I think he's 29 this year. He'll be 29 during this season.
Yep.
It's a tough move to pull off, but I think that's the way you have to do it. Here's the issue I have, Joe, with why I get kind of tied up in this. I believe, of course, they want a wide receiver. I think they're going to draft a wide receiver, whether that's at 28, up or down. They're going to draft a wide receiver. I believe that. I think that they'd love to move up if they can. But there are really only a few guys that I think are worth moving up for. Because as much as I like Worthy or Mitchell or Leggett or McConkey or Javon Baker, Ricky Pearsall, name the names. You can get those guys at 28 and maybe even a lot of them in the second round or beyond, to be quite honest with you, right? Like, you don't have to trade up for anybody except for Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, and probably Brian Thomas Jr. Even that actually is questionable if you have to trade up for him.
I'm starting to fall in love with that idea a little bit, going up and getting Thomas somewhere in the teens. Like, I'm starting to fall for him a little bit. Now, to be fair, I have a new favorite idea like every 3 days with this receiving class. So
that's all right.
Ask me again on Monday, and I might tell you that I'm back to Ladd McConkey is my favorite idea. But at the moment, like, the more I dive in on Thomas, the more I feel like I like it. Like, the biggest knock against him are the numbers. If you look at his yards per route run, if you look at his target share in that offense, you know, if you look at what they asked him to do, it's kind of limited. But the more I dig in on it, it's okay. Like, the yards per route run thing, it's some of those stats. It's not just that stat, but there's more. I feel like Thomas is almost getting misrepresented in some ways. His final year in college, that number's fine. It's actually decent. Like, it's good. It's not amazing, but it's the same as Justin Jefferson in his last year at LSU. It's way better than guys like DK Metcalf and even Adonai Mitchell, who have been criticized for the same type of number stuff. Thomas, I feel like he's being punished because he played as a freshman at LSU.
Hmm.
If you look at the guys from this draft class, use the top guy, Marvin Harrison Jr. In their freshman years, Brian Thomas and Marvin Harrison Jr., Thomas and Harrison both had yards per route run, other stuff, not good metrics at all. But Harrison, even though Harrison's were worse than Thomas, it didn't affect his total body of work because he only ran 100 routes as a freshman, whereas Thomas was approaching 300, like more than double the role, which just meant it kind of dragged his numbers down. So I almost feel like, at least with him, I don't think Mitchell, this is the same thing. With Thomas, the numbers argument I've seen against him, I feel like is lacking a little bit of context. I feel like he's being punished because he showed up as a 19-year-old and won a starting job at LSU.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I like Thomas as well. And the question I have is, like, do you need to go up to get him? Do you wait there? Because
right.
What is the drop off, right, from him to the next guy? The guy that I'm liking more and more as this process goes on is Xavier Worthy. And part of the reason I like him, and maybe it shouldn't be a reason, he's also a really good return man. And I think they have a void on their roster on that too, Joe. You don't draft him because of that, but it does kind of kill two birds with one stone, right? Which is, you draft him, you put him in your offense, he actually has a lot of the things that you're looking for. And oh, by the way, he can go return punts for you. And you have a dynamic playmaker with the ability to do that as well. You don't have a Deontay Hardy on the roster anymore. He signed with the Ravens. You have guys who can be kind of punt catchers and do the job, but nothing like that. And a lot of times, that's what you needed your rookie receiver to do anyway, before he kind of fits into the offense and he learns everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Thomas, the skill set, I just think also fits exactly what they're talking about.
Agreed.
And what they want. I mean, they want explosive plays. I mean, this dude, it's one of those, if you read the breakdowns of him, he was amazing at going over the top. Like, the best success rate of all the guys in this class at the deep routes, the go route straight ahead. Like, 72% success rate on that route. He beats people over the top. But what I like about him more than Mitchell is that kind of quick twitch stuff. You go look at, even if just their highlight reel, let alone their film, you see Thomas make dudes miss in open field. Like, he'll get around you. And Mitchell doesn't have that extra layer of his game. And the way the Bills are talking, explosive plays, but also yak conversations, like, it just feels like Thomas kind of fits all of the skill sets that they would be looking for.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. Micah Hyde after this here on the Extra Point Show on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jones had just 129 yards rushing this season. Jones, pump. Rifle downfield. Intercepted. Sliding catch made by Hyde for the pick. Micah Hyde, second team All-Pro, and what a play.
No doubt about it. One of the signature plays of Micah Hyde's illustrious career, and especially here in Buffalo in the perfect game, the playoff game against the Patriots just a few years ago. And the safety joins us on the West Her Hotline right now. Micah, it is awesome to talk to you. It's Sal and Joe here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us today.
What's up, Joe, man? How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing great,
good.
Man. Doing great. Is that when you think back of moments, and I know it's not about individual moments or accolades, but we all have them, right? I mean, that pick right there off Mac Jones, is that one of the first that comes to mind for you?
Yeah, for sure. You know, throughout all the plays I've made in my career, that was definitely that top playoff. Interceptions are always worth double. We say that a lot. And then just, you know, kind of the way that season played out and how that New England game early in the season went, and then getting another shot at them in the playoffs. Just the way that whole thing played out, that's definitely one of my favorite plays.
Sal, he did score spinning touchdown.
I know.
So that did happen.
You know what's funny? We debated playing that highlight or the one against the Dolphins on the kick return. That's another one, man. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, to this day, I just thank the guys in front of me for holding those blocks. So I can just go up and get the ball and trust them that they were going to make their blocks. So I wasn't going to get touched. So, kudos to them and just was able to make an amazing play.
Hey, Micah, I know, you know, Bills fans would love to see you making more plays in a Bills uniform going forward. And we're here to talk about the softball game. It's coming up on May 19th. We're going to do that in a minute. But if you can just give us an update on where things stand with you. We talked with Brandon Bean yesterday and Sean McDermott. Yeah. Brandon said he has been in contact with you, but he's not quite sure exactly what your decision and where you are with everything. And then everything will flow from there. So can you give fans an update on where you are right now as far as your career and, you know, playing in the future?
Yeah. I talked to Bean the other day. It was a good FaceTime. You know, maybe last as soon as he answered, you know, Josh was on the FaceTime and you know, we were just able to laugh and you know, just joke around for a second. But yeah, you know, we just talked about life. It was nothing really too deep into football. You know, he asked me how I was feeling and everything, and I said I was feeling great. You know, I wake up every morning. I actually just got done. It's 8:30 here on the West Coast, so I just got done with a workout, and you know, I continue to do that. I enjoy working out, so. I let him know that and saying, you know, I'm always going to be in shape, but as far as my decision to continue to play, I just don't know yet. You know, I feel like if I was, you know, a young guy, single, you know, out there just trying to put a little money in my pocket, obviously the decision would be a little bit easier, but, you know, I have a family that I got to look out for. And, you know, this is kind of a big decision to, you know, get back to move. You know, back to Buffalo and doing all that type of stuff with the family, bringing the family in along and school and, you know, just all that type of stuff. So, you're just trying to fill it out, just going, one day at a time. And, you know, if, you know, training camp comes or the season comes and there's an opportunity for me to, you know, put on the Bills uniform, that'd be awesome. But at the same time, I knew that last season was going to be a difficult season physically. And in return, you know, the physical side, you know, just having the stingers and stuff like that kind of made it a little harder on me mentally, which I wasn't really, I didn't think would be the issue, but it kind of was. So, you know, just going a day at a time. I'm sorry that this is a long, drawn out response that really just comes down to, I don't know. I hate to say that, but it, you know, it really, that's what it is. I don't want to cheat the game. I understand that. You know, there's a lot of you know, people involved in my decision, whether if it's like I just mentioned, my family or even the Bills organization and you know, Sean and the players on the team and stuff like that. There's, you know, there's a numbers game and all that goes involved with my decision. So I'm trying to make the most informed decision possible, and that's where I'm at, taking a day at a time.
Am I right though, hearing as you lay that all out, that it might be more about it's more of a mental decision for you as opposed to you still feel like you could play if you get to the right mental spot?
Look, man, the competitor in me, I'm always going to feel like I can go out there and spin it a little bit. Like, I already know, like, I'm a very competitive person. I know that I can still play at a high level, yes. But like I said, physically, you know, last year took a toll on me for sure. I just, I knew it would be tough coming back from a neck injury. And those stingers, man, they started to get to the point where I didn't want to feel those anymore. Let's just put it that way. So it was a long season for me, and I'm trying to, process, still kind of, I guess, process that, but move on and, get myself in the mindset to possibly play again. But, you know, if that time doesn't come, then, you know, it is what it is.
Mike, is it just Buffalo if you decide to do it? Or would you be open to going somewhere else if you decide you want to play, but, you know, things don't work out numbers-wise and roster-wise with the Bills?
Listen, I'm always going to be a Buffalo Bill. I would love, if there ever was a time for me to, you know, put the pads back on, then I would for sure want it to be in Buffalo. You know, I don't see myself putting any pads on anywhere else, moving my family to a new city and starting all over. Like, that sounds, to be honest, that sounds like a lot, especially this late in my career and how old my kids are and my, you know, having my wife do all that. You know, I'm just trying to look out for my family in general. So, yeah, I feel like if anything, it'd be in Buffalo and, you know, maybe one day that might happen.
There's been a little bit of an emotional challenge, I know, for fans this summer and spring, really, Micah, about all the changes. Trey, Jordan Poyer, obviously Stephon Diggs trade happening recently, Gabe Davis. I don't need to list the names, but is it sad for you to look at all the changes and know that, like, it's kind of the end of an era?
It's two things, I guess. One thing, yeah, it could be a little – it could be a little sad just because, you know, there's a lot of guys that had their hand in you know, changing this organization for the better. You know, going in there every day, working their asses off and trying to win a Super Bowl, and not just trying to win a Super Bowl, but, you know, being good people, being good dudes in the locker room and you know, having those awesome moments after wins. And
oh, did we lose Micah? Lost me.
Nope, we didn't lose you, Sal. I think he just cut off for a second.
Okay, that's good. I think we lost Micah. We're going to get him back. Micah Hyde joining us here on the Western Hotline. We'll grab Micah again. We have to talk about the softball game. That's what we want to talk about. And, you know, but interesting, he says right there, he really only wants to play in Buffalo. Now, does that mean he necessarily would totally close the door to anywhere else? Probably doubtful. But we have Micah Hyde back on the Western Hotline right now. I think, Josh, I think we're getting Micah back. Sorry,
yeah,
Micah.
We're almost got you. Now we got
there you go. All right. There you go. Sorry about that, Micah. We cut off on it. That was probably on our end. But go ahead. Joe was asking you about the emotions of the changes in the locker room.
Yeah. I was just saying the first part being, yeah, it's a little sad. And I'm just seeing all the guys put in the hard work. And the second part was just, but it is a part of the business. You know, I've been in the league long enough to know that you gotta, you know, kind of get young and, you know, start a little fresh throughout the season or beginning of the season. So, yeah, it's just part of the business.
Okay, last one about the changes, and then we'll get to the softball game, I promise. You were here in 2017. You were one of the first guys to kind of change the culture of the locker room. Obviously, new leaders have to be born. You've seen a lot of these guys come up. You've seen the corners come under you and the safeties who are, you know, coming into that role. What's that like to have to kind of step into that new leadership role of a new iteration of the Bills, I guess?
Yeah, I think it's just all about being yourself. Just be yourself, and, you know, there's a ton of – to get to the level of NFL, you know, you got to be some type of leader and – in some type of sense, you know, you've been a captain on your high school team or college team or whatever it may be. And, you know, I think as long as you be yourself, just go out there every single day and work your ass off. And then at the end of the day, just love on one another, trust one another, no matter what, the leaders are going to, you know, they're going to push forward. And, you know, there's already some guys in that locker room that are going to lead that team. And, you know, that's the least of my worries. But, you know, to have a team like we had the last couple of years, I guess, with a bunch of veteran leadership, it'd be good to get some fresh faces in front of the team and some new voices and some different perspective, and it'll be good.
Well, we appreciate all of your time on that. Let's talk about what's happening May 19th. Because you've been such a leader, it doesn't matter that you're not on the Buffalo Bills roster right now, as you pointed out on social media. The softball game is still on, and we're looking forward to a fantastic game. It's going to be brought to you by Northtown Automotive, which, by the way, is also a sponsor here on the Extra Point Show on WGR. Tell us a little bit about, you know, putting this together and what it's meant to you over the years for your Imagine for Youth Foundation.
Yeah, Sal, you know firsthand, man. You've been in attendance running the mic for all those years.
Yep.
And I mean, it's an awesome event, man. It was something that we were just, you know, towards the end of the season, we're like, you know, are we going to be back in Buffalo? Do we keep the softball game? And ultimately through, you know, the whole foundation, my whole family, everybody was like, yes, like we have to throw this game because it's so important to all of us. And we do so much, it's so important to the community. We're able to give back in so many cool ways. Whether if it's a children's hospital, whether it's Boys and Girls Club, whether it's, you know, back to school drives, backpacks, shoes, all types of things that we do in the community of Buffalo. So we knew we had to put it on. We're super excited for it. Imagine for Youth, Lammy Sports, Northtown stepping up again. It's always going to be big. The guys, you know, we got some cool gifts set up for them, you know, because, you know, these guys are working their asses off during the week, and on the weekend they have time off, and, you know, we're asking them to come play in a charity softball game. So they're dedicating their time to this game. And so, you know, we're going to also donate some of the proceeds to the Guys Foundation, you know, the players on the team.
That's awesome.
To give back to them, to, you know, basically say thank you for participating in this game. So, yeah, man, we're super excited, man. I can't wait to get back to Buffalo and get out there and, you know, mess around and joke around with the guys. And it really is a cool family event for not just the community, but for also the players and their families. You know, we want you know, all the guys on the team to bring their wives, bring their girlfriends, bring their kids, bring their families, come out for hopefully a nice day on Sunday afternoon and in May, and just enjoy the laugh and enjoy being together.
And how about the tailgate? That was a big deal last year, and it's going to be again this year. You guys are actually going to make it even bigger this year. In fact, I've been told closing down Swan Street in front of the stadium to make a big block party event. Michael, what's that about?
Yeah, you know, that's the Bills Mafia way, right? Like, you gotta, you gotta find it. You gotta find a way to take it next level for Bills Mafia. And last year we had that that tailgate experience. We didn't really know how it was gonna go, and we heard nothing but great feedback. So now we're just gonna shut down the street. Everybody come, hang out a couple hours early before the game, and bring your kids. There's a whole bunch of stuff to do, a ton of stuff. I'm sure my kids will be out there having fun, running around, and yeah, man, it's going to be a great day at the ballpark.
In terms of tickets, they usually will sell out, right? Like, so I know we got a month here, but maybe would there be advice to fans, like, get on this quick?
Yes, get on it now. The tickets, the last year have sold out. Last year they sold out. The year before was pretty close to selling out. So I know they try to do day of, but, you know, that might be limited. So I would say hop on now and try to get some tickets. And they're all different range of prices. We tried to make it so that obviously anybody in the community is able to attend. I would definitely recommend getting your tickets now.
Instagram, it's at Hyde Charity Softball. So everybody who's listening on Instagram, at Hyde Charity Softball, that's where you can get your tickets. And yeah, for sure. It is a fantastic day. And Micah, just from a personal standpoint, you said it in the outset. I've been there with you for the last few years. Buddy, I just appreciate you, you know, and your group allowing me to be a part of this in the MC. I have such a great time with it every year. My family comes. We have a great time with it. So you and your lovely wife, Amanda, your family, got to know your dad a little bit over the years. So thank you for, you know, allowing me to be a part of it, because it's a special event here in the city of Buffalo, especially for a guy here like me who grew up here.
No, and I mean, we know how much, you know, you just mentioned how much you appreciate. We know how much the community appreciates. But I think every single year it's been, you know, and just an amazing opportunity for, you know, my family, Amanda and I, and our kids and our family, and the Magic Fuse, which is also our family. And, you know, Lammy Sports, who we're pretty close with throughout the years, who we got pretty close with throughout the years, that, you know, we're able just to put this event on for the community, just to show how much we love the city of Buffalo and how much they have done for us. You know, I became a man there. We got married there. We had kids. So it's a very special place, and we want everybody in that community to know that. And this, you know, this is just an event that we could put on to show our love to the community.
Did you have something to do with when you go to the ticket page and scroll right below buy now? There's a nice little reminder there that the defense has won all three games.
You know what? You know what's funny is I haven't seen that yet. I'm gonna be honest with you. I haven't seen that yet. You know, the offense was a little hot last year, saying it was rigged. You know, maybe I'll play a little more neutral because, you know, I'm not necessarily on the team right now. It is my charity softball game. You know, I'm going to be honest with you guys, it kind of bothered me a little bit that it's the Micah High charity softball game. I wanted to make, like, you know, the Buffalo charity softball game, but since everybody knows it as my name, then I was like, okay, I guess we can keep it still. It's kind of like, you know, makes me feel a little, I don't know, conceited in a sense.
No.
I don't know. But, yeah, the defense is up 3-0. I'm sure the offense is going to say that was rigged, and, you know, defense is probably going to win again this year.
And of course, you said it right there, and I understand where you're coming from, but you guys do a lot for the other players, donating funds to participating players' foundations. It is presented by Northtown Auto. Micah Hyde on the Western Hotline, but also, Micah, you are a very big traveler, and I haven't heard yet, because we usually see you around this time of year. Are you and Amanda going anywhere? Have you gone anywhere? What have you done for vacation this year?
We got back out to San Diego, and, you know, the weather has been, you know, I'm talking about San Diego. I'm sorry, guys. I call this champagne problems. You know, I know how Buffalo is not always the best weather, but it's been a little rainy out here. So we've kind of just hunkered down in the house, and, you know, we'll probably head to Mexico a few times, maybe get the kids to Hawaii. But other than that, we're just, you know, chilling as a family and enjoying our time together, and watching the kids just sprout like weeds, man, growing too fast, that's what's sad. That's what's sad, man. Seeing our kids grow just way too fast.
It happens. I know. I'm in the same boat. Yeah, it's great, but also it kind of sucks too, right? You'd like to keep them the same age and the same size. Hey, before I let you go, real quick, NFL owners meetings, the hip drop tackle. I'm curious of your thoughts on that. You've always been a guy who's spoken about, you know, from a player's perspective here in this league, and what you think. There's a big challenge coming up for the defensive players.
Yeah, Sal, this is, this is ridiculous, to be honest. You can't, you know, I'm 200 pounds at my heaviest. You know, mostly on game days, I'm probably at 196. I'm trying to tackle, you know, these tight ends that are 260 pounds that can run 4.3s now and can jump out the gym and, you know, all this type of stuff. And now you're asking me to you know, not do the hip drop and kind of prepare myself how to tackle these guys. Like, it's impossible. The game is way too fast. The game is way too violent. Like, you can't think or else you're going to get hurt. And so that decision that was made is, to be honest, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And so, you know, it's already hard enough to play defense in this league. You can't touch the receivers when they're in the routes, balls in the air. It seems like, you know, it's offensive pass interference on almost every single play. So it's already very difficult. And I'm biased because I'm speaking defensively. And so now you're putting stuff like this out there for guys, and it's making the game, you know, incredibly hard. I missed the 9-6 final score. I know the NFL doesn't like that. they want the high points and all the touchdowns and all that type of stuff. But, you know, I feel like one day it has to start to slowly move back to that. It has to, you know, the NBA can't be a foul on every single play. The NFL can't be a pass interference on every single play. It's just, it's getting a little soft out there, Sal. That's all I got to say.
Micah, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it. We're going to look forward to that softball game on May 19th. I want to remind everybody again, Hyde Charity Softball on Instagram. Not only were ticket information there, but also confirmed players. I asked Josh yesterday about coming back, about trying to win back that home run title that he lost last year. He said he's planning on doing that. So there's going to be some fabulous players and fabulous people there. And thank you very much for being a part of it and bringing it back to Buffalo, buddy.
Of course, Tom. I appreciate you guys having me. Take care. We'll see you soon.
All right, thank you very much. That is Micah Hyde, the charity softball game on May 19th here in Buffalo, New York. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Things up here on a Friday on The Extra Point Show. All right, we got to go. Joe, have a great weekend, buddy. We're going to talk next week, and it's going to be all about the draft most of the week. By the way, real quickly, Joe, Monday night, Matt Bovey and I are interviewing Mike North on our schedule pod.
Let's go. As well. All right, can't wait. And I'll be going to my first ever concert at the stadium tomorrow.
Oh,
Luke Combs.
Dress warm. It's going to be a little cold, but you know what? You'll have a great time. You're going to have a great time at Luke Combs. That's coming up this weekend. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Thank you so much to Micah Hyde for joining us a little while ago, and, of course, Paul Hamilton earlier today as well. We'll talk to you on Monday on the Extra Point Show. Sabres Live up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.